morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Monday, December 4th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. Fighting resumes between Israel and Hamas.
Fell apart because Hamas was unwilling and refused to come up with additional lists of women and children, which we know they are holding, and put them on the list so that Israel could evaluate that and we could get them exchanged.
Somalia's government welcomes the lifting of UN arms embargo against the country. We'll get analysis. Tanzania women's rights activists push for independent candidates to defend against gender-based violence. The first troops of the East African Community Regional Force began withdrawing from Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo on Sunday.
The East African Community Regional Force starts withdrawing from the DRC as the government of the Democratic Republic of Congo didn't renew their mandate.
And what is the secret of Rwanda's capital, Kigali, being the cleanest city in Africa? Those stories plus Samson O'Malley's sports are coming up on Daybreak Africa. Israel and Hamas are not yet willing to return to the negotiating table to discuss a ceasefire, but Israel says it is trying to minimize civilian casualties as it continues its military offensive in Gaza. VOA's Veronica Baldera Iglesias reports.
After Israel renewed bombardments in Gaza against Hamas targets, several Palestinian families gathered Sunday at Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital in Deir el-Balah to mourn the latest victims of the military offensive, as many prayed for the dead and others continued to flee. The United States affirmed that Israel is heeding its calls to minimize civilian casualties.
They published online a map of places where people could go to avoid combat. There's not a whole lot of modern militaries that would do that. I mean, to telegraph their punches in that way. So they are making an effort.
But Israel and Hamas are still reluctant to negotiate a new truce and the release of more hostages.
Fell apart because Hamas was unwilling and refused to come up with additional lists of women and children, which we know they are holding, and put them on the list so that Israel could evaluate that and we could get them exchanged.
A recently published report by the New York Times points to Israel knowing in advance and playing down Hamas's plan to carry out the October 7th terrorist incursion. The questions that the article raises, however, will need to be answered at a later time, Ron Dermer, Israel's Minister of Strategic Affairs, told ABC.
After the war, we're going to have a serious investigation. It's very important during a war to unite all the forces to achieve a common goal, which we all have, which is to dismantle Hamas's military capabilities, to end its political rule in Gaza, and to ensure that Gaza doesn't represent a threat to Israel, and also to return the hostages.
In Dermer's view, destroying Hamas will open the door to regional peace.
And in the context of that regional peace, we'll have to figure out how we can put ourselves on a path towards an ultimate political settlement with the Palestinians.
Meanwhile, he added, Israel agrees with the United States on the need to reduce civilian casualties in Gaza and to ramp up humanitarian assistance. Veronica Valderas Iglesias, VOA News, Washington.
The Somali government has welcomed the lifting of the decades-long arms embargo imposed by the United Nations Security Council in January 1991 during that country's civil war. Hussein Sheikh Ali is the National Security Advisor for the President of Somalia. He tells reporter Haroon Maruf of the VOA Somali Service that the government is now free to acquire heavy weapons in the fight against the militant group Al-Shabaab.
It's a huge milestone that Somalia have achieved over 31 years. Somalis have been looking for this moment, and we thank every entity, partner, that have helped us to reach this level. And today, Somalia believes we got a piece of our sovereignty back.
And what's the next step for you? Do you have weapons lined up for you to buy or to receive from friendly countries?
Yes, we have a plan that we have completed our national security architecture. We have devised a strategic plan of implementing of the architecture. And we have a conference in New York, 12th December, where international partners are gathering to support Somalia security sector development. So that would be part of acquiring adequate weapons in order to take over responsibility of from Artemis December 2024.
How does this move help the fight against Al-Shabaab?
It's going to be a game changer. Shabaab and the security forces of Somalia had a similar weaponry, mainly a small weaponry, and it was more or less in the battlefield that the winner was not very clear, although we managed to win over a large chunk of territory last year and this year. But this will be a game changer for the security forces of Somalia, where they will have the upper hand in terms of weaponry in the battlefields.
Hussein Sheikh Ali is the National Security Advisor for the President of Somalia. He spoke from Mogadishu with VOA's Somali Service reporter Haroon Maruf. To find out more about what the lifting of the arms embargo means for Somalia and the East African region, VOA's Douglas Umpuga reached Abdi Ismail Samata, a professor at the University of Minnesota and a senator in the Somali parliament.
It's both a blessing and a curse, I think, that the lifting of the arms embargo. If Somalia had a disciplined, organized military force that's dedicated to the country and not to sectarian projects, then this would have given the country an opportunity to take the war up to Al-Shabaab face on with resources necessary to do that. But we don't have sort of a disciplined, centralized, organized, professional army. And so my concern is if these weapons fall into the hands of what I call the merchants of war, who are not disciplined, organized, purposefully driven by the collective national agenda, then that may create more mess. And I hope that the country will put together a formula that will ensure who is going to provide the weapons, where is it coming from, and how it's being used in order to be able to take advantage of this opportunity. So it's an open case as to whether this will become a blessing or a curse, my friend.
This lifting of the embargo comes a week after Somalia joined the East African Community Regional Bloc. Would that maybe help?
Well, I mean, the question becomes cooperative arrangements among African countries, either regionally or continentally, has the potential of jump-starting our region and our continent. So at the first blush, this is a sort of a wonderful opportunity, both for East Africa and Somalia as well. The question here again is Somalia, its economy has been in shambles for almost 35 years or more. And the question is, as long as the productive sector of the country where the vast majority of the population needs to be employed is not up to snuff to be able to take advantage of that bigger market of almost 300 people. So again, it's an opportunity. The question is whether that opportunity will be realized both by Somalis and East Africans in the EC is an open question again. But it's a slow movement towards the continental unity.
Abdi Ismail Samata is a professor at the University of Minnesota and a senator in the Somali parliament. He spoke with Douglas Umpuga from Minneapolis, Minnesota. You are listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Botti in Washington. Today is Monday, December 4th. For more Africa news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And still to come on our program, Something O'Malley Sports. The first troops from the East African Community Regional Force began withdrawing from Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo on Sunday. Reporter Al Katanti Sibeti Jaffa in Eastern DRC tells me that the troops are leaving at the request of DRC President Felix Tshisekedi, who has accused them of cooperating with the M23 rebels.
Three aircrafts took off from the international airport of Goma Sunday, 3rd December, with 98 Kenyan soldiers each. And this is because the East African Community Regional Force starts withdrawing from the DRC as the government of the Democratic Republic of Congo didn't renew their mandate. The first plane took off from Goma early morning at 4, and people of Goma didn't know about what is going on.
I'm sure many will be wondering, why are they withdrawing when the violence in the East continues?
It's because the mandate of the East African Community Regional Force will expire in 1 week, and the force can't stay in a country without any accreditation, as the government of DRC didn't allow them to get one more mandate, they have to leave. And you must also know that these forces had already lost the confidence of Congolese people, who accused them to support M23 or to work with M23 instead of engage fighting against rebels.
I'm wondering what has been the reaction, what is the reaction in the Eastern Congo about the withdrawal?
People are happy in the East Democratic Republic of Congo. I'm in Goma, where I could hear people singing with the joy because Kenyans start leaving. You know, people of DRC was asking the government of Congo to make end to the agreement which sent this force in DRC. And this decision of the President Tshisekedi to do not give one more chance to this force will be a positive thing in his campaign, because people will remember that the government did what we liked.
As you and I know, the violence in the East continues. So what is the plan now, especially for the government of the DRC, following the withdrawal of the East African forces? What is the plan?
Violence still ongoing in the field, and the government of DRC have not given any plan yet. But from sources, we heard that after the total withdrawal of this force, another force will come from SADC, the South African country's force, will join FRDC to make end of these threats from all rebel groups, such as M23 and other local groups. You must remember that in the first M23 war, which was in 2012 and 2013, SADC forces fighted alongside with FRDC to chase out M23.
That was reporter Jafar Al-Katanti speaking with us from Goma, Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo. Women's rights organizations in Tanzania are observing the 16 days of activism against gender-based violence, which began November 25th and runs through December 10th. At a recent event, some called for fielding independent candidates during elections to free women from what they called a patriarchal political process. Media practitioner and gender activist Halima Sharif tells me that having independent candidates would enable competent women to jump in and defend women's rights.
For me, I think, James, that's a critical step into mobilizing women to come together and try to dismantle the patriarchal system, all these oppressive systems that actually accentuate the inequalities between men and women. And as you know, women's subjugation is deep-rooted, and the manifestation, gender-based violence, is one of the manifestations of these inequalities in a patriarchal system. So I think there are a good number of women in our communities, and especially at grassroots levels, and they are known and accepted in their communities. And these women stand a chance to become leaders. So I think by having the independent candidacy, it will allow women who are confident and who are determined to stand for human rights, to stand for a society that would observe equal rights for men and women, and represent their constituencies.
But Tanzania has a female president. What is the government saying about all these issues that you're describing in gender-based violence?
Actually, we do have the Ministry of Women Affairs. The president herself has repeatedly addressed issues around gender-based violence. So we have plans, we have strategies that are committed to eliminating gender-based violence. We have the police force that is enlightened about this. However, the implementation of some of these policies and action plans doesn't really go with the pace of all these national frameworks that we have. And I think, James, you understand why. A good number of those who make decisions whether or not a crime was committed here are men. And, you know, sometimes, even if it is within a family or a community, sometimes women are silenced just because it won't look good if you as a woman claim that so-and-so within your community has raped you or...
On the issue of an independent candidate, as you and I know, women have always had difficulty when it comes to running for political office. Some have cited lack of finance. How would this independent candidate be supported financially and otherwise?
Yeah, that's a good question, because resources and access to resources is one of the biggest challenges that women face, whether in politics or in business. You know, the opportunities are not equal. So the way I look at it is that if, as women in the women rights movement, as feminists, who some of us probably would have the resources, we need to rally behind these women, because that's how we can enable them to access the resources.
Halima Sharif is a media practitioner and gender activist. She spoke with us from Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. 3 years ago, Tuko, Kenya's largest online news website, identified Kigali, Rwanda's capital, as the cleanest city in Africa. Windhoek, Namibia, Accra, Ghana, and Habaruni, Botswana, came second, third, and fourth. Solange Muhawa is Rwanda's chief urban planner. She says Kigali chose to be the cleanest city in Africa, and that contrary to popular opinion, clean cities are not limited to rich or developed countries alone.
Contrary to the popular opinion, clean cities are not limited to rich people, to rich countries, to developed countries. We can also become a clean city. When we reached that target of becoming the cleanest city in Africa, we didn't just sit down and enjoy our first rank. Consistency is key. We are always working hard to always remain on that position of being the first cleanest city in Africa. I don't know if you are aware of Umuganda community work.
No, I am not.
Okay.
That's exactly what I wanted to ask you. What is your secret? What does Kigali, what does Rwanda do to give you this title?
Umuganda, it's a national cleaning day. It's something we do every last Saturday of each month. We close our shops, we close traffic for like 3 hours. Everyone participates in cleaning our neighborhood. We can also do some community projects like planting trees, build poor people. Actually, you know, people love to do good whenever they can. So cleaning our neighborhood is something we are always doing, and we take pride to clean our neighborhood. Also, Kigali have installed dust bins everywhere. And also the discipline of everyone in Rwanda. We use our dustbin. We don't put our waste everywhere. We put it in those installed dustbins in Kigali.
That's what I wanted to ask you, because it takes discipline, what you are saying. That means, can I litter in your city?
No, you can't do that, because everyone will look at you like you are doing something crazy. Because we have dustbin everywhere, it's easy to put it the nearest dustbin. And also we have tough regulations. So you can't do that in Kigali.
So are there consequences? Suppose I'm one of the law breakers and I just decide, okay, I'm going to disregard the dustbin. Are there consequences?
Yes, there are some fines that you might pay, but it has become like a culture to keep our city as clean as possible, the cleanest city in Africa.
So it is ingrained in them to keep the city clean?
Yes. And also we have introduced a school curriculum. We are teaching our kids to be responsible citizens and also how to manage waste and always have this culture of keep our city clean and not put our waste everywhere, but put those waste in dustbins.
So other than having this status, this prestigious status of being the cleanest city in Africa, are there any benefits to your city or your country, Rwanda? What do you get?
You know, waste is money, and it is creating jobs. We now have cleaners, rubbish collectors, gardeners. And those people are now employed because they are working hard to keep Kigali clean. We have been ranked as the cleanest city, and we are getting people who come visit just to check if it is true. So we are getting tourists to come to visit our city just to verify if it is true. And they are all amazed.
Solange Muhawa is chief urban planner for Rwanda. She was speaking with us from the capital, Kigali. It is time now for Daybreak Africa Sports, and here is Samson O'Malley in Abuja, Nigeria. A very good Monday morning to you, Samson.
Good Monday morning to you too, James. We begin the sport with the CAF Confederations Cup. Tunisia's club Afrikaan extended their Group C lead in the CAF Confederations Cup match day 2 fixtures on Sunday with an emphatic 3-1 away win over Angola's Academia do Lobito. In Mali, Stade Malien played host to 2021-2022 champions RS Berkane of Morocco, who also continued their fine form in the group stages with a hard-fought 2-1 away win. The much-anticipated West African duel between Ghana's Dreams FC and Rivers United of Nigeria lived up to the hype as the two sides produced a highly entertaining West African encounter. It was, however, the host who had the better game plan as a goal by John Atui in the 35th minute alongside Abdul Issa's strike in the 74th minute were enough to see off the Nigerians, who found a consolation goal in the dying moment courtesy of an Alex Oyawa goal. In the final Group A encounter for Sunday, Modern Future held on to a 2-1 lead in an away clash to Al Hilal Benghazi to move level on points with USM Alger at the top of the group. Elsewhere in the CAF Champions League, South African powerhouse Mamelodi Sundowns lost for the first time in 17 CAF Champions League matches when going down 1-0 to TP Mazembe, the Democratic Republic of Congo, on Saturday. After a dramatic match day 2, Petro Luanda of Angola are the only team boasting a 100% record this season, following 4 victories in qualifiers and group stages. Title holders and record 11-time champions Al Ahly of Egypt were held to a 1-1 draw by Young Africans in Tanzania, and the 2023 runners-up Wydad Casablanca of Morocco suffered a second straight defeat. In rugby news, South Africa Springbok Sevens team won their 5th consecutive Dubai Sevens title as they outclassed Argentina 12-7 in an epic and tense final in the Emirates on Saturday. The next stop on the 8-leg season will take place next weekend at the Cape Town Stadium in Cape Town. In athletics, Ethiopia's Cissé Lemma shattered Kevin Kiptum's course record as he won the Valencia Marathon on Sunday to make him the 4th fastest man in history. Lemma clocked 2 hours 1 minute 48 seconds to win ahead of reigning Prague Marathon champion Alexander Mutsio of Kenya, who timed 2 hours 3 minutes 11 seconds to finish 2nd. Wolde completed the podium in 2 hours 3 minutes 48 seconds. In the women's race, Wokenish Degefa led the Ethiopia top 3, winning the women's race, improving her personal best to 2 hours 15 minutes 51 seconds. Degefa set her previous personal best of 2 hours 17 minutes 41 seconds in Dubai in 2019. And that will be all for this Monday's edition of Daybreak Africa Sports. I am Samson O'Malley in Abuja, Nigeria. It's back to you, James, in Washington.
Thank you, Samson, and have a very good Monday. And that's it for this Monday, December 4th edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for beginning your week with us. For more Africa news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are also on YouTube, where you can watch our TV shows, Africa 54, Straight Talk Africa, and Red Carpet. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa team, I'm James Barton in Washington, wishing that you will have a great week.
Greetings. This is VOA Sunny Young. Brighten your day by tuning in the sunny side of sports Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC. You can also follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and VOAAfrica.com. It's the Sunny.